Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cass Piancy, and I'm here, as usual, with my partner in crime, Bennett Tomlin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. We today are going to be jumping into a topic that both of us hold kind of near and dear to our hearts. It's called Crypto Capital Core, and it's a unregistered money services business, if we're going to be just downright quick about the point we're making here. But I think not many people are super familiar with this business, and it's important for them to have kind of an understanding of what happened here if we want to talk about the people involved and ultimately what went down. So, Bennett, can you give everyone kind of an introduction to what Crypto Capital Core is?
Sure. Crypto Capital Core was a Panamanian and Colombia-based payment processor that acted as kind of a shadow bank for a whole bunch of cryptocurrency exchanges. A lot of these exchanges struggled to get banking, so they relied on payment processors like Crypto Capital Corp in order to service their customers. Now, Crypto Capital Corp itself was a criminal enterprise implicated in money laundering for the cartels, embezzlement, counterfeiting, and a whole bunch of other fraudulent practices, which eventually led to them being shut down by authorities of several different countries.
The reason that we're interested in this seemingly random Panamanian fake money services business, criminal money services business, is because of their deep connections with Bitfinex and ultimately how that led to Bitfinex and Tether having so many problems. All of this started to come to light at some point in 2019. They were handed down an indictment by the Southern District of New York and the Department of Justice, where they were implicated in a bank fraud claim, and they were implicated in conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business and conspiracy to commit bank fraud. It involves a cast of kind of wily characters, I would say. So let's talk about how Crypto Capital Core got started.
So, Crypto Capital Core was started in 2013. Oz Yosef, who's one of the main people behind Crypto Capital Core, started posting on Bitcoin Talk and on Reddit about how he had connections to a couple of these small banks. And he eventually used these connections to these banks to start his own payment processing company, Crypto Capital Core. He started this with Evan Manuel Molina Lee as the nominal director for these corporations. And then they fundraised for it through a platform called Havelock Investments, which was popular at the time among cryptocurrency businesses because it was basically a way for them to do an unregistered and unregulated securities offering and sell equity in their businesses for Bitcoin. So Crypto Capital Core starts fundraising on there, uses their connections to a couple of existing banks, starts lying to other banks to get more accounts, and they eventually become this shadow bank for a huge number of cryptocurrency exchanges.
So yeah, let's get into this kind of this cast of characters. The two I prefer to start off with are Yvonne and Oz. Yvonne Manuel Molina Lee is this Canadian Panamanian fly-by-night character, but he also seems to be intricately involved in the business of Crypto Capital Core. This guy is a Panamanian Canadian who went around and founded all of these very shady businesses and worked with very local and small banks to help, I don't know what else to call it besides criminals, move money around the world. In the end, Yvonne was the first one who was arrested and subsequently charged with everything or with anything. That was in March of 2019. But shortly thereafter, Oz comes into the picture because he gets indicted, but by the U.S. So the U.S. is looking for Oz, Reginald Fowler, and Oz's sister, Ravid Yosef. So two of the Yosefs and Reginald Fowler become charged criminals. Two of them remain at large. Reginald Fowler, who was formerly a investor in the Minnesota Vikings and also a defunct NFL competitor. I don't know if it was the XFL or whatever it was, AAFL or AFL. He apparently was a bad actor involved in that as well. So it's funny that they were so successful, I guess, is the way I look at this. Because on the surface level, they're all kind of shady and not necessarily the most competent criminals.
I'm not sure I have the same takeaway. I think that what we see with Crypto Capital Corp is a surprising level of sophistication in many regards. You've got an international network of shell corporations spread across a huge number of jurisdictions. When Reggie Fowler was arrested, he had in his possession the materials needed to counterfeit US dollar bills. They had counterfeit bond certificates and a whole bunch of other stuff that to me suggests they're one of the more sophisticated money laundering operations.
I hear what you're saying, but I also think that necessity is the mother of invention. So the reason you see Reginald Fowler with a counterfeiting machine isn't because he's a great counterfeiting genius. It's because he was so stupid and desperate that he was like, I'm going to counterfeit $14,000 worth of money right now. So while I understand what you're saying, I tend to disagree just because they got caught. They got caught relatively easily. And we have people like Giancarlo, and we have VDV, and we have, you know, Phil Potter. We have the Bitfinex execs, and they're all walking free and happy. Meanwhile, these guys who helped run shadow banking for all of cryptocurrency for a while, these guys really saved a lot of companies, really. I mean, a lot of these companies couldn't get banking back in the day, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And I think it's actually an important point to make, because you'll sometimes hear Bitfinex especially try to paint themselves as a victim in the interaction. But it's important to remember that Bitfinex would have been cut off from basically all banking years before they were, without having crypto capital to rely on for that period.
And I think other cryptocurrency exchanges and their CEOs have similarly, maybe not publicly stated it as much, but it's well known that people like Jesse Powell talked about having worked with Crypto Capital Corp because they were unable to get banking. Oftentimes, these multi-million dollar, close to a billion dollar cryptocurrency exchanges would have no banking whatsoever, and they were all relying on Reginald Fowler, Ivan Manuel Molina Lee, and Oz Yosef. Oftentimes, they had no idea who these people actually were. There was no due diligence done often enough, right? So they weren't sure who they were talking to. And let's talk about the transcripts that have been shared between Giancarlo Devasini, who is the CFO of Bitfinex and Tether, and Oz Yosef, the CEO of Crypto Capital Corp.
He's one of the principals of Crypto Capital Corp. I don't know if he's the CEO, but...
I'll just go ahead and be Merlin when we... Merlin is Giancarlo Devasini, and I will hand over any other discussions to Bennett to go through, but let's just quickly run through what we can here. Hey, Oz, sorry to bother you every day. Is there any way to move at least $100 million to... We're seeing massive withdrawals, and we're not able to face them anymore unless we can transfer some money out of crypto capital. I understand some of the funds are being held by... But what about the rest? Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't bother you. I mean, I never did so far. But this is quite a special situation, and I need your help. Thanks. I've been telling you since a while, too many withdrawals waiting for a long time. Is there any way we can get money from you, Tether or any other form? Apart from crypto capital, we're running low on cash reserves. Please help.
I know. We are following the banks. We post as many as we can and let them process as much as possible according to them. Every time we push them, they push back with account closure without reason.
Dozens of people are now waiting for a withdrawal out of crypto capital. I need to provide customers with precise answers at this point. Can't just kick the can a little more. The international, I mean.
I will keep you posted here on the process of all international payments.
Please understand, all of this could be extremely dangerous for everybody, the entire crypto community. BTC could tank below 1K if we don't act quickly. That's the main point that we want to focus on as critics of Bitfinex and Tether. There's more. There's more problems. There's more of Giancarlo begging Oz for funds and releasing funds and releasing tethers and anything to get cash reserves more liquid, and just problems and problems and problems. I think the main focus of that, and something that has driven all of us, whether it's you or me or Bitfinex, is that the CFO of Tether and Bitfinex, in a text message, whether it's hyperbole or not, is talking about how this one centralized money services business that's helping Bitfinex could simply crash Bitcoin to 1,000.
Yeah, it is. It does feel kind of absurd when you hear them saying this and having this conversation. And I think it's also important to contextualize this. You hear us discussing, and you can hear Cass as Juan Carlo saying, like, there's all these withdrawals pending and we've got nothing we can do. And at this same time, Bitfinex is issuing statements to the public saying withdrawals are working totally fine. There's no problem. And this is all going on behind the scenes.
And the reason that this causes problems for Bitfinex and Tether is because Crypto Capital Corp, while trying to delay these fund transfers, they weren't just having a little bit of money frozen. They had $850 million of money frozen. And these funds were frozen across the world. So these funds were frozen in Poland. They were frozen in Portugal. They were frozen at HSBC accounts. They were frozen at, I remember seeing something like 10 or 15 different bank accounts that they were using. They were everywhere. They were going anywhere they possibly could. And like I said, they were very, very, very desperate. And it becomes clear the governments of these countries worked together, cooperated to freeze these monies. And the burning question at the heart of this is, if Bitfinex thinks they're entitled to these funds, why were they frozen in the first place?
Well, I think what it comes down to here is that Crypto Capital Corp is a criminal organization who was likely money laundering for the Colombian cartels. That's why Ivan Manuel Molina Lee got picked up. They were lying to these banks about their business, telling them that their business was real estate instead of servicing cryptocurrency transactions. So they'd frequently get accounts shut down for that reason. And just besides that, they were embezzling out of those accounts. And they were moving this money for cryptocurrency exchanges who themselves don't have the most sterling reputation of trying to avoid money launderers' money.
Now, Bitfinex believes it's owed the frozen dollars. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that Bitfinex gave Crypto Capital Corp a little over $1 billion in total of commingled client and corporate funds. And the tricky thing, one of the things that gets really confusing here, is that Bitfinex did that without ever signing any kind of contract or agreement with Crypto Capital Corp. My intuition is that between the criminal activities Crypto Capital Corp was involved in and the lack of Bitfinex having, you know, an agreement or a contract stipulating that those funds are supposed to be theirs, they are going to struggle to retrieve any of those funds.
I agree with that, especially the commingling and the lack of a contract instantly makes it 100 times, 1,000 times more difficult to retrieve. I mean, there might be some documentation somewhere. They're probably going to use things like text messages and...
And further making it more complicated is the fact that Crypto Capital Corp was running two sets of books. So besides their normal books where they were tracking what was coming in and out for their different customers, they were also embezzling 10% off the top of that and had a separate set of books they called the Master US Workbook, which showed the reality of the accounts. And so you've got commingled client and corporate funds, commingled between Crypto Capital Corp's different clients involved in money laundering with no contract, money embezzled off the top, and two sets of books you need to try to decode to figure out who's actually owed money.
This is intimately involved with Bitfinex and Tether, obviously. But I think it's a story in and of itself. I've been watching this for so long now and seeing Reginald Fowler took the fall immediately. He was arrested. Ivan Manuel Molina Lee, that's almost a tragic story to me. The guy gets picked up in Greece, shipped off to Poland, and put in jail for 2 years. And I don't know about you, I have not heard about him since. He's gone. No one talks about him anymore. He just vanished. And then we have the two fugitives, and that also makes the situation like complicated and weird because they're not the most brilliant people. Ravid Yosef, the sister of Oz Yosef, I tracked her by using her Google reviews to Israel, where she likely is right now. I don't think she can do much traveling these days. Extradition policies are intact for many countries with the US, but staying in Israel can be very safe for cryptocurrency entrepreneurs because there's a family of cryptocurrency entrepreneurs there. Moshe Hogeg is someone who comes up a lot, and some other ones. There are a lot of Israeli cryptocurrency scammers. Netanyahu is in tight with them. I don't think we're ever going to see Ravid Yosef and Oz Yosef get justice like Reginald Fowler and Immel. I think those two are gone for good. And I don't think they're the brightest criminals. They're just lucky.
Yeah, and I think Well, I think there might be a good point to touch on here is that the long arm of the U.S. justice system is quite long, and it can reach you in a lot of different places. But it is difficult in certain countries, certain places like that. And without a sufficiently compelling reason, lots of times I think you won't see like the Department of Justice engage in those really complicated international negotiations to try to get that type of fugitive.
At this point, there's only one court case that we're focused on, because the Yvonne Manuel Molina Lee case, no one has any idea what's going on. As far as the Yosefs are concerned, they're fugitives. So the only one who, and he's out on bail, as far as I know, living the good life in Arizona, but the only one who is currently even being tried is Reginald Fowler. And he keeps wandering between copping a plea and not copping a plea. What do you think is going on there?
I, one weekend, decided to read every single document in both dockets for the Reggie Fowler case because I was curious. And he is an interesting fellow because, like you said, he was ready, going to his lawyer, to sign a plea deal and deal with these charges. The day they get into court to sign that plea deal, the judge re-reads the charges. There's a small question about one of the charges, and they end up not signing the plea deal. After that point, because Reggie stops paying his lawyers stop being his lawyers, then there's a whole difficulty in Reggie finding new lawyers because he now has a history of not paying his lawyers. And so the case has been delayed for several months now, and it's supposed to resume soon. And it's honestly a little bit unclear whether or not he is going to take a plea deal or try and take this to trial.
Lending credence to your thought process that they're smarter than I perceive them as, I will say that I've had a attorney that these kind of delays and these kind of pushes to frustrate the prosecution can often be effective. If you drag a court case out long enough, sometimes the wind just falls out of the sails. Reggie doesn't seem maybe as stupid as I think he is when it comes to that.
Yeah, and I think if you read the prosecution's filings recently in that case, you can honestly almost read the frustration in their words, where they say, since he's had all this time, since there's already been these other law firms which have prepped the work, it shouldn't need to be delayed. And there was one where they use the phrase, like, it is absurd to think that he would need this much time to prepare for this when he was already ready to plea on whatever date or whatever. And so there does seem to be almost a sense of palpable frustration among the prosecution in that case.
So I'm just going to do a quick summary, basically, I think, here. Yvonne Manuel Molina Lee, one of the founders and directors, along with Oz, has been arrested and charged with something like bank fraud in Poland. We have Reginald Fowler, former NFL Minnesota Vikings owner, part owner, and part owner of some NFL competitor, is also being charged with bank fraud and conspiracy to commit bank fraud and several other crimes. The other two are fugitives. These people engaged in criminal money laundering and bank fraud activity, essentially. These guys were moving money for criminals, whether it was drug dealers or people who weren't reporting their taxes or people illegally engaging in crypto pump and dumps or all of the above. They were clearly providing banking services for just about anyone who wanted it, and that has been stopped. But that does not mean that shadow banking is any less of a concern now, or that even smaller local banks don't suffer from similar kind of, or bigger, or bigger banks don't suffer from kind of similar characteristics often.
I believe that there are probably still other shadow banking operators like Crypto Capital Corp operating, probably specifically even in the cryptocurrency space, because it is often hard for these companies to get banking. And I think besides moving beyond just cryptocurrency, there's a need for shadow banking in a lot of industries, both legitimate and illegitimate. It would not surprise me if there's cannabis companies who are relying on structures somewhat similar to Crypto Capital Corp. And then we know Crypto Capital Corp was servicing outright illegal businesses like the Colombian cartels and things like that. And so there's probably other structures like Crypto Capital Corp that exist to service just those outright illegal businesses. And they can more effectively service those illegal businesses when they service pseudo-legal or legal businesses. And so they're probably actively recruiting the fringe industries like cryptocurrency, cannabis, and things like that.
Agreed, 100%. But I think it should make most people do a double take that they were so closely connected and that almost every other well-known cryptocurrency exchange at that point had abandoned them. No due diligence, no contracts, no concern for customers is kind of it epitomizes a lot of cryptocurrency exchanges. And it also epitomizes how Crypto Capital Corp treated those cryptocurrency exchanges themselves. So there's kind of two weird rationales here. There's the idea that this was definitely not Bitfinex's fault, and they were forced to involve themselves with this bad actor. And then there's the competing argument, I think closer to what you and I seem to believe, which is that no one forced Bitfinex to work with Crypto Capital Corp, and choosing such a lousy business partner is, in the end, all on them.
It's clear that either Bitfinex is complicit and knew that Crypto Capital Corp was likely engaged in illegal activities, or Bitfinex and Tether were absolutely negligent and are not responsible enough corporate entities that anyone should be giving them money.
So that's going to do it, guys. That's our quick coverage of Crypto Capital Corp. Next week, we're going to be covering a summary of hopefully Quadriga CX a little bit. I know that we're competing with the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, but I don't really care. We had it first, goddammit. We're going to be back within a week or so, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be doing this regularly with you, Bennett. If you have anything else you'd like to say, you know?
I'm excited. Hopefully people learn something new today, and we can keep talking about some of the strangeness in the cryptocurrency world.